A rose between two thorns. You know, I was going to say something smart alecky, like, just like some other rose. If there were a preacher hall of fame, you probably wouldn't get in. I was going to say something like that, but I thought that wouldn't be very nice. Or he hustled and got where he was going in a hurry, and you never seemed to get there. I'm not going to say anything like that. It's funny. Come on, we can do that to each other. I thought that was pretty funny. Kendall gets it. Token laughter, please. It's all right. Some of you, I know, we're already past the what our normal time is, so some of you are starting to look like Mr. Bean right now. I understand that, but hang with me. We've just got a few more minutes here, and we're going to continue and wrap up this story on Jonathan. And here's the fourth thing that we want you to understand about David and Jonathan. Good friends keep their promises, even though it's costly. Sometime later, Jonathan and his father, they're both killed in battle, and there was a period of civil war. There was a period of uncertainty that followed their death. And after David finally became the king, he remembered the promise that he made to Jonathan to care for his family, like Kendall was talking about just a moment ago. And though it was very customary for the incoming king to execute whatever family was left, so there would be no threat to the throne, David didn't do that. Instead, he gave an order to search for all of Jonathan's family that might still be alive, and he said, "Don't kill them. Instead, I want to bless them." Isn't that amazing that David would? That tells you about the kind of friendship that they had. And all they found was one son of Jonathan, a young man by the name of Mephibosheth. Easy to say, right? Mephibosheth. Can you imagine if any of you ladies who are maybe expecting are going to have a baby? That's a good Bible name for you there. Oh, he's so cute. I think I'll call him Mephibosheth. You've probably never even heard that name before, but that's who it was. And what happened to him was his nurse had dropped him as they were fleeing the palace. His feet were injured. He never recovered from that. He was never able to walk. And Jonathan brings this young man into the palace, and he treats him as his own, or David did, I'm sorry. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 13, "And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet." A good friend keeps his promise even when it's not convenient. You know, a friend that promises to be there when you get married, he shows up. A friend that promises to pay you back when he borrows some money from you, pays that back. If a friend promises to be loyal to you unto death, he is loyal to you. He keeps that vow. Psalm chapter 15, verse 4 says, "A righteous man is one who keeps his oath even when it hurts." See, that's one of the things that made Jesus so special. He's made us so many promises, and he keeps them. Even when it's not convenient, even when it hurts, he's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus promised to seek and save the lost, and he is still in the process of doing that. Even though when we fall into sin, even though we are crippled by our own poor choices, Jesus still seeks us out and wants to save us. And even though he has the power and he has the right to destroy every single one of us, he promised us that he came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And that promise cost Jesus his life. And he promised that if we accept him, we will be adopted into his family. Here's what John 1:12, "To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." And when we come to him and we come crippled by our sin and we lay our crutches, so to speak, at his feet and we put our crippled feet under his table, we inherit all that there is for his children. Isn't that a wonderful thought to know that we don't deserve, we are in no position to experience the blessings that God wants to give us, yet we get them anyway? What a friend we have in Jesus. If today you'd like to make him the Lord and the Savior of your life, we're going to give you a chance to do that in a bit. Jesus promised that whoever believes in him and is baptized will be saved. Mark 16:16. He also said in John 15:14, you're my friends if you do what I command. That's John 15:14. But before we get there, let me share with you very quickly one last characteristic of a good friend. Good friends are willing to sacrifice for one another. Good friends sacrifice for one another. You know, there are some things in life that just don't make very much sense to me. They just kind of make you scratch your head, you know? For instance, I don't understand. I don't understand why it's such a compliment to tell a woman that she looks like a breath of spring. But to tell her that she looks like the end of a hard winter, that's not the same, you know? And they don't appreciate that so much. But isn't it the same thing? You know? I wonder why if you look at a woman and you say, when I look into your eyes, it makes time stand still. But you tell her that her face would stop a clock. Not the same. You know, I wonder why when we get up to introduce someone and we say, this person needs no introduction, and then we introduce them anyway. Or when the preacher says, in conclusion, and then they never seem to wrap it up. Many things in this world seem to make us wonder. But here's the thing that really just blows my mind. Why a holy, perfect God would want to have a relationship with us. Why he would want to call us his friend. I don't understand that completely. John 15:14-15, Jesus said, you're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. Friends. That's what Jesus calls us. And it somehow defies imagination. I think one of the reasons why it's difficult for us to wrap our minds around it is written in Romans 5:6-8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will someone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, the cross is the highest symbol of friendship. John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for a friend. Good friends sacrifice for one another. And there's no greater friend than Jesus Christ. And the cross is the symbol of that friendship. And it's a symbol of what Christ desires for us. See, he desires that sacrifice as well. He wants us to take up our cross as well and sacrifice for our friends. I want to close with this story, and I mean it. I'm going to close. In Mr. Alter's fifth grade class, it's impossible to tell which boy in the class is undergoing chemotherapy because all of the boys in the class are bald. 13 of them shaved their heads so a sick buddy wouldn't feel out of place. One little boy said, if everybody has their head shaved, sometimes people don't know who's who. They don't know who has cancer and who just shaved their head. That's what 11-year-old Scott Sebelius, one of the buddies at this elementary school, this young boy with cancer, said. For the record, the little boy's name is Ian O'Gorman. He's the sick one. And doctors removed a malignant tumor from his small intestine. And a short time later, he started chemotherapy to treat the disease called lymphoma. And Ian decided to get his head shaved before his hair started falling out in clumps. And to his surprise, his friends wanted to join him. And the last thing he would want, they said, is to not fit in. The last thing he would want would be to be made fun of. So we just wanted to make him feel better, 10-year-old Kyle Hanslick said. We wanted to make sure that he didn't feel like he was left out of anything. And so Kyle started talking to all of his classmates about this idea, and then one of the parents started a list A short time after, they went to the barber, all 13 of them together, and they got their heads shaved together. Ian's father, Sean, said it's hard to put into words, choking back tears as he talked about the boys. It's very emotional, he said, to think about kids like that who would come together and to have them do such a thing to support Ian. And here's the kicker. The boy's teacher, Jim Alter, he was so inspired that he shaved his head too. Jesus gave a command, love one another as I have loved you. Isn't that a phenomenal demonstration of these classmates loving one another? John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And the cross symbolizes that form of friendship. And Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Are you doing that? Are you taking up your cross and following him? Are you being that kind of friend? I hope so. I hope that you're demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ that he displayed at Calvary. If not, will you start? We're going to offer a song of decision this morning. And during this song of decision, there's a couple of things I want you to think about. First and foremost, if you don't know Jesus Christ personally as your friend, if you've not made him the best friend of your life, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. We're going to invite you to the front. Confess that he's the Christ, repent of your sins, be baptized into him if you've not done that. Maybe you're here today and you've already done that, but you're looking for a church home. You want to become a part of East Columbus Christian Church where you can display the love and the friendship of Jesus Christ along with us. Do all that you can to show people the love of Jesus Christ. We'd love to have you become a part of our family here today. Or maybe you're here today and you've just kind of not held up your end of the bargain in your friendship with Jesus. You've kind of dropped the ball. Maybe today would be a good day for you to recommit to your friendship with Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And if there's anyone here today that has a decision that they'd like to make, we encourage you to come. Let's pray together. Father,